You're listening to the STC Foundation's podcast. This year we're looking at the four Gospels, an opportunity on a Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a quote from the Bible.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's Foundation's podcast. Today we're looking at Matthew 26, verses 57 to 75. However, I'm going to focus on the last five verses, Peter's denial of Jesus. You can find the whole reading on the website. Let's read the Bible together now. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. And then he went out to a gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again, and with an oath he said, "I do not know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter is an interesting disciple in the book of the Bible. His mouth often moved faster than his brain. On our thought from Tuesday, he swore allegiance to Jesus unto death when Jesus predicted his denial. We read yesterday and today, he didn't quite have it all together. He fell asleep at Jesus' moment of need in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet, when we read that all the other disciples had abandoned Jesus, Peter, to his credit, he's followed the drama since the arrest, although we read today that he kept his distance. I can relate to Peter. I often find myself with good intentions, but not always the means to back it up. A quick story before we talk about Peter in more detail. It's a story where my mouth moved faster than my brain. I used to work for the university catering team alongside when I first joined the staff team here at STC. And I was waiting tables at a rather fancy midsummer meal for a prestigious law firm in our city. It was in one of the fanciest university buildings. And to my boss's dismay, the professional pianist had not turned up. And to my own surprise, I found my mouth saying these words. "Oh, I know people who play piano at our church. Don't worry, I'll sort it out." "Great," she said, and she left the prep room. I then realised what I'd said, and I began to panic. I couldn't ring Rebecca Staniforth at short notice. It was already evening and she's got small children. So I rang a talented student in our church at the time called Grace. And she exposed the enormous hole I'd got myself into. To find a willing person to play for 3 hours with no practice on a grand piano she's never seen in the fanciest room at the university in front of a large crowd over dinner. "That's correct," I said. "No way," she replied. "But maybe Gavin can," she said. "Put him on," I said. So long story short, Gavin, who used to be on our staff team here at STC until recently, he dug out a crushed tux, I arranged a taxi, and 30 minutes later, he dazzled the crowd, much to my relief. He got paid in a fancy five-course meal result. So back to Peter, the disciple who will never deny Jesus, but he has found himself here in this story, weeping bitterly. It makes you think, why are we being told all this detail about this man? And why are we told these things three times? I'd love to briefly explore these two questions today and touch on what happened next to Peter as something for us to reflect upon together. Firstly, why did Peter keep his distance? And why did he deny knowing Jesus? Presumably fear. He watched from the courtyard as Jesus was falsely accused, beaten and insulted. Peter was scared Jesus would die and what that would then mean to those associated with such a man. Peter quickly found he wasn't nearly as bold and as courageous as he had proclaimed, and so in fear kept his distance. Secondly, what is the reason for being told this detail three times? Because history tells us that Peter becomes one of the pillars of the early church in Jerusalem, equipping disciples all over the region. Even today, many of us are blessed by his writings in 1 and 2 Peter, which are books in the New Testament. What happened to take this disciple we encounter in the story today to what we hear and know through church tradition? Well, there's a story in the end of the Gospel of John, John 21, where the resurrected Jesus reinstates Peter. Jesus has appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee and they're having breakfast together. And Jesus singles Peter out and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" Each time, Peter replies, "Yes, Jesus." And he reminds Peter to take care of his sheep, to feed his lambs. In other words, to strengthen the disciples. Jesus was impressing upon Peter the importance of his role in the church, to play his part in the family of faith. You see, Peter was in no way fit to be qualified for the role that Jesus had in mind for him. In many ways, none of us are. We make decisions based on fear from time to time. We get things wrong. But for every mistake we make, every decision that we make that denies Jesus as Lord, in our life or in our family, Jesus can undo all of them. He forgives us. Just like Peter, he can reinstate us and he can call us to join and play our part in the family of faith. Maybe today, as we're reminded of Peter's testimony, there might be some of us listening who'd like to recommit parts of our life to Jesus again. Let's offer them to God afresh. Perhaps there are many listening who feel encouraged that if God can use Peter to build the church, then he can certainly use me. Be reminded of our vision this year is join us in building community. We all have a part to play and a way of contributing. Let's pray. God, thank you for Peter. It's encouraging that even a hero in the faith like him needed Jesus's forgiveness. In fact, it was one of the most transforming things that he knew in his life. Would we be encouraged by your Spirit and be strengthened for the day ahead? In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 26, verses 57 to 75. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Cephas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it within 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and they struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You are also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, with the bystanders, more came up to him and said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them. Your accent betrays you." And he began to invoke curses on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. We could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for